Gracious God, may these words lead us to the living word. Amen. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
At the end of July, Miles and the children and I stumbled on the Barnstable County Fair. Have any of you gone to the county fair recently? A few of you? We used to love to go to the county fair when we lived in Virginia. And I, for some reason, hadn't thought to look for it here in Barnstable, but we made it on the very last day, which was an amazing time to go because all of the rides are only one ticket. So we felt like we could let the children go on as many rides as often as they wanted to, and we weren't constantly worried about heading back to the ticket booth. I also got a little brave while I was at the fair. I love rides. I like roller coasters and rides like that. So there was one particular ride, the children and I were trying to remember, we think it was called Surf Swinger or something like that. It sounded pretty fun. It was one of those pendulum rides that swings back and forth. So Sophie and Phoebe and I headed off onto Surf Swinger while Miles and Charlie went on the bumper cars. I've since learned that this ride is also called Dance Party. Sounds pretty okay. It's also called Freak Out. Pretty sure if I had walked up to a ride called Freak Out that I would not have gotten on it. But seeing Surf Swinger, I felt brave. And before too long, we were riding this ride. And at first, it was very gentle until I realized that the part that we were on not only was going to swing, but started spinning. And not only did it spin, but it actually started rotating as it was spinning. So at one point, we were at the apex, and I was, you know, at the very top, staring down, held only in place by the harness, and was absolutely flooded with fear. I mean, had that, get me out of here, I'm going to have a heart attack, I'm going to throw up. I mean, just complete panic in that moment of hanging there. And of course, the next thing that happens is that you free fall all the way through to the other side where you do it again. quite a nerve-wracking experience for me. And I have to say, true fear in that moment. I'm so blessed that the fear that I have experienced most recently in my life was of my own choosing, getting on an amusement park ride and enduring it. It is not the fear of driving into Hyannis and being shot. It is not the fear of Israelis or Palestinians shelling Barnstable Village. It's not the fear of going to Cape Cod Hospital and potentially contracting Ebola. There are so many fears that people in our world face that trigger that same clenched stomach, racing heart, panicky feeling that they too have no control over. And they don't have the choice of getting off the ride at the end and never doing it again. Fear is one of the most natural human reactions. And some of us, or very fortunately, experience that acute fear fairly infrequently. Maybe when we're in a bad rainstorm on the Mid-Cape Highway and a car pulls over too fast, we have that momentary flood and panic. I would say that many of us, though, experience more chronic fears. So not a fear that necessarily seizes you and floods you with adrenaline instantaneously, but sort of the chronic fear of worrying about your health or a loved one's health. Worrying about your finances and how to afford continuing to live in such an expensive area. Maybe worrying about a loved one and their health. Or worrying about a potential move and the fear that comes from the unknown and the uncertainty of how the move will unfold. Even though we might not have that heart-racing, stomach-clenching, instantaneous flood of fear that we do with the acute experiences, chronic fears we also feel deeply in our bodies. We might notice that our stomach is constantly unsettled, or that we have headaches, Fear is an incredibly powerful human emotion that many of us don't know how to deal with. When I was hanging at the top of the surf swinger, the thing that came to me instantly, and I know it was the Holy Spirit, was I heard this voice in my head say, "Scream!" And sure enough, as I, you know, went swinging down, you know, the children can attest that I was screaming at the top of my lungs, and that release was extraordinary. I breathed again. I had a way to let it out. You know, children, when they go to the doctor, I'm sure when Kevin goes to the doctor to get shots, sometimes children scream, sometimes they cry. But adults have had that instinct worked out of us. When we go into Cape Cod Hospital, we don't hear dozens of people screaming because of their fears. But surely anybody receiving chemotherapy or going through heart surgery or visiting a loved one who's had a heart attack or a stroke is fearing more than I did at the top of that ride when I needed to release it by screaming. The disciples, when they experienced such terror upon seeing Jesus walk across the water, they cry out. They probably didn't scream bloody murder like I did, but maybe they did. But there was a release. There was the opportunity physically to let some of that fear out. So when you all face fear, I wonder if there's some way, even as reserved and proper Yankees, that we might find a way to scream, to go to the beach by ourselves and scream, my God, why have you forsaken me? If our Lord can do it, if the disciples can do it, why can't we give ourselves the relief, not at the amusement park, of screaming when we're in fear? But I doubt that you will, because I don't hear many people screaming down on Millway Beach. So what are other strategies for dealing with fear? In the psychological literature, and this is astonishing to me, but I actually have found this to be true, most human emotions, including fear, including very intense emotions, only last for about a minute, unless we start telling stories about them. So if you feel fear, that pit in your stomach, your heart starting to race, everything in your body tensing up, and you can somehow find the strength to say, "I'm flooded with fear, I'm really scared," or I probably would say something a little more colorful than that. If you can somehow just name the fear and let it pass, typically within a minute, that emotion will go away. The problem is that most of us begin to tell stories about it immediately. I was sharing with the 8 o'clock congregation, you know, I'm the kind of person that the second I, you know, feel a weird pain or have anything unusual in my body, Charlie's going to be raised by another woman, Sophie's going to have somebody else pick out her wedding dress, poor St. Mary's is going to be grieving, the rector of only 2 years is dead and buried. You know, it's like just the tiniest little bit of fear, and I start telling stories about it that make it worse and worse and worse. If I can take a deep breath and say, "Wow, I'm really afraid that this lymph node is more than just reacting to a virus," before long, I'm actually distracted by something else and move on and realize I'm hungry or I'm joyful or look at that beautiful flower if I don't get trapped in telling stories about the fear. We see that with Peter today. Initially, when Jesus says, "Come," Peter is focused on Jesus. Peter, it might have been feeling afraid and terrified at seeing this man walking on the water, but initially, he's able to focus on Jesus. When he starts telling stories about, "Whoa, this is a really windy day, and look at this really tumultuous water," he panics and begins to sink. The thing that I love about this story is that every single one of us would have done that. And it's easy to read Jesus' response, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" as a criticism. But the fact is, in all Gospels, little faith is actually considered an extraordinary thing. A mustard seed, a tiny mustard seed, is held up as something that can grow into a huge bush. Little faith can move mountains. So little faith is actually something for us all to cherish and to own, and to know that we might have little faith, and it might waver, and Jesus is right there, before and after, ready to comfort us. So if you can't scream, and if in focusing on your fear, you find that you're getting trapped by the story and not able to let it go, all we need to do is call out, "Lord, save me," or whatever phrase works for you, "Jesus, help me," or just "Jesus." Anything that helps pull you out of the immediate terror, the immediate fear, to give you a little perspective. In many ways, this is what we're doing with the baptism this morning with sweet little McKenna. We're reminding ourselves that even though there are going to be difficult parts in McKenna's life and her family's life, it is all absorbed by the all-loving power of Jesus. That in Jesus' death, we are moved into the resurrection. That in the church community, there is always something more than whatever it is in front of us that scares us. So in this baptism today, we are celebrating, we are proclaiming, we of little faith call out to Jesus. Rely on each other for some sense of care and for hope, and move into the future strengthened by those things that scare us. Amen.